Hallelujah. Somebody just give God some praise today. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and say, Jesus, thank you for being our healer today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just look at somebody as you're being seated this morning. Tell somebody across the table from you or across the room from you, I am well. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody asks you this week, how you doing? You just say, I'm well. Thank you very much. In the name and by the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Well, thank you for that beautiful worship, Pastor Shelley. And again, just thank you all again. That women's event yesterday, there was something special about that. Amen. There always is. But the Holy Ghost did some powerful work. So thank you all for your hard work. My family, I just want to thank you guys. Shelley and Lindsay are here. Lane and Luke. And I made a joke that Lane didn't show up today. Well, I told him he couldn't show up today. Lane and Luke and Lacey have a little bit of gunk in their throats this morning. So with the present guidelines, we said, you know what? You guys just say they wanted to come. They were fired up. No fevers, no issues. We were like, you know what? Because we're being sensitive to the current guidelines, amen. Don't you know it's good to be under authority, amen? And yeah, we're the church, but we ought not come in with the attitude of we're the church, okay? Don't you, government, don't you tell us what to do. We're the church. I've heard some reports in the area of churches that have had that attitude and have had things happen that we wouldn't want to happen here, amen? And it's not about, you know, we're the church, because we are the church. You can't tell us to not come and preach the gospel and gather together and all these things, amen? But when there's something going on in the spirit realm, we just need to trust Jesus and be sensitive to the guidelines. There's scriptures that talk about being honoring to our authorities, amen? And they're there for a reason. Yeah, there might be some issues going on, some things we ought not trust going on out there. But number one, who do we trust? Jesus, right? And if I'm getting everybody together, forget right now I'm talking about, right? This is November 2020. If you're listening to this next year, years after that, and chuckling about it, whatever. But right now, to tell everybody, forget your mask. Forget the social distancing. We're the church. And then somebody gets a cold or something. And now they can't work for 2 weeks. Somebody say, it's more than about saying, we're the church. It's about loving you, amen? And loving God. And just somebody say, stay undercover, will you? Amen? Don't put your head out of the bunker. There's wisdom, in other words, spirit of wisdom. Be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Amen? Praise God. But aren't you glad? Anybody else in here just kind of ready for November 3rd to just kind of move, get on past it? Amen? God is so good, but there's so many things that the enemy has tried to do in our nation this year. And somebody say, we just refuse it. And I'm gonna drop my document in the mail this week that reminds the devil, here's where I stand. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we just talked about healing, worshiping God, receiving communion. Who's ready to hear some stuff about prosperity this morning? Amen? Biblical prosperity. And Pastor Shelley's been doing a wonderful job on this, but she's been working real hard lately. She always is working hard. Amen? But I said, honey, can I do the offering tomorrow since you've been going. She's like, yeah, sure. So, but I'm going to stay right on the same theme that she's been going with. Somebody say, seed time harvest. Right? Seed time and harvest. In Genesis 8:22, this is the foundation text, says this. While the earth remains, is the earth still out there? Oh, yeah, it's still here. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat. Oh man, is it cold out there this morning? I mean, it's beautiful, but it's chilly. Amen. And I kind of like it. An angel of mercy brought me a pumpkin spice latte this morning. I've been doing the iced coconut milk latte, but this morning I had a hot pumpkin spice, and oh, it felt good in my tummy. Winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. When? While the earth remains. Praise the Lord. Apparently, there's an expiration date on the earth at some point. If we read through the Bible, we'll see, yeah, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. Praise the Lord. So there's something that ain't quite right with the earth, if you haven't noticed, right? 30 degrees and 40 degree or 40 mile hour wind gusts, not very comfortable, right? 107 degrees and 100% humidity, not very comfortable. So stuff is going on the planet. Why? Because there's an expiration date on this planet. Amen? Started back in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? When God said, don't touch that tree, and Adam and Eve touched the tree, the devil tricked them, and ever since then, what did he say? If you touch the tree, you will surely die. Not just them, the whole earth, right? Back then, the lion and the sheep would take naps together. As soon as that tree got touched, the lion looked at the sheep and went, hey, that looks delicious. And the rest is history, amen? But there's coming a day, praise the Lord Jesus forevermore, where there will be a new earth, a new heavens, and a new, not heaven itself, but heavens, the sky, the space, and all these things, renewed. Praise God forevermore, amen? But back to this, seed time and harvest. Number one, Shelley's point last week, God will be faithful to his word. And she went through Psalm 145 and Hebrews 13. Now, she'll get back to the flow next week, but how many know God is faithful to his word? In fact, when I first met Pastor Shelley, when we were at New Beginnings getting ready to do Bloodbot, and I was the director of Bloodbot, and she came in to audition for a singing part, and she sang this beautiful song, I'll never forget it, called God is Faithful. He's been faithful to me. Right? Praise the Lord. And I saw her up there. I was like, hey, wow. Hallelujah. Not that as a single guy in the ministry, you're checking out all the young ladies like, let me see. What else are we auditioning for here? The part of wife, right? No, that was a God moment, a God time in both of our lives. But it's just a great example that God is faithful. He's faithful to his word. And he's faithful to being a God of prosperity, faithful to us financially, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. But I want to say it was Oral Roberts who taught on what I want to emphasize today is not the seed, not the harvest, but the word time. Because this is where a lot of Christians throw in the towel. I got my seed. I know there's a harvest, but I ain't seeing it, so I quit. But there's this thing between seed and harvest called time. Somebody say time. You ask any farmer. They go out and they plow the field and then they sow the seed and they don't wake up the next morning to corn stalks. It takes what? Time. Amen? And so this word time, one of the definitions, this is from dictionary.com that I liked. And it says, to fix the duration of. So whatever you're believing God for, just kind of like we talked about the earth, how many know the earth since the Garden of Eden, since the issue in the Garden of Eden, is on a fixed duration. There's coming a day where it's just going to flat out be broken. And God, the only way it's going to be saved is for the Lord himself to come down and fix it. Amen? And whatever you're dealing with, this should be an encouraging word for us. Whatever you're believing God for, your faith is working. We wouldn't need faith, really, if there wasn't a time element, would we? Right? How many of you believe you're going to heaven when Jesus returns, when the trumpet blasts? But there's this thing called a lifetime where we got to keep believing, keep waking up thinking today could be the day. I'm going to be ready and watching. Amen. So whatever you're believing God for, just be encouraged that there is a fixed duration for the time you are experiencing for whatever you're believing God for, whether it's healing of some type, whether it's a home, whether it's debt freedom, whether it's whatever it is. All you have to do is set your eyes on Jesus during this time. Not on the lack. I remember watching the Victory Network's Victory-thon. They're raising money for the network, and Kelly Copeland got up there and said, you know what? A lot of you might be sowing money into the kingdom for years and years and years and years, and you haven't seen yet what you're believing for. But keep sowing. Keep believing, because the time is coming when that will manifest. And it was just a great reminder of this thing called time. Seed, time, harvest. Amen? Now, the seed is important, right? We're getting to that. But Genesis 4:13 talks about the process of time. How many know it's a process, right? And process means words like, in the, again, dictionary.com, after, end. It means words like border. I remember, again, one of our favorite road trips is to Southern California. And it takes, I mean, you know, if you start from here on I-5 and start driving south, it's going to take some time before you see, welcome to California. And then even after, you're our beautiful California people, right? And how many know, even after you cross the border of California, it's going to take some more time before it starts looking like California. What I think of, I mean, I'm thinking chips, you know, CHPs and palm trees and rollerblading and the beaches, all these things. Welcome to Disneyland, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's going to take some time, right? So there's a process. There are borders that we're crossing in the spirit realm. Amen. There is an end to your faith for that thing. How many know when the trumpet sounds, I don't need any more faith now. Here we are in heaven. There's an end to that faith. Well, whatever you're believing God for, there's an end to it. We just have to keep pressing, keep believing, keep trusting. Amen. Day after day after day after day after day after day. In our own physical strength, it would seem like an impossibility. But with the Holy Spirit, I was listening to Mark Hankins this morning at Eagle Mountain, and he said he was talking about his mother, and they were just baptized in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, running around the church, praising God. And he's like, you know, if you don't have to explain what's happening to visitors, you don't have a Holy Ghost church. I think that's hilarious, right? Somebody say, there's an end to my faith for this thing, right? But not today. Somebody say, not today. I'm still believing. It's not going to end because I quit. It's going to end because I received it, the thing I'm believing God for. Amen? And process also means a continuous action. Continuous action. Tithing is not something we try. Tithing is something we do. And do, and do, and do, and do again, and do again, and do again. Paycheck after paycheck, paycheck after paycheck. That tenth is coming out and going into the work of the kingdom of God. First and foremost, because it's God's money. Amen? Don't pay Uncle Sam before you pay God, right? Get your money into the, get your seed into the soil, right? Praise the Lord. So it's a continuous action, something we're doing all the time on purpose. And the word process also means this phrase, the summons. Somebody say the summons. So in other words, there are angels out there watching for people who tithe. They're saying, oh, there's the summons right there. That guy, that girl, yep, they just keep at it. They just keep at it. The blessing of God is going to come on their life. They can't. I remember Pastor Huck talking about the Indiana Jones movies where the rock is coming. I can't get away from it. I can't get away. Oh, it just overtakes us. That is the blessing of God to those who are continuously doing what he says in every area of our life, including our giving. Amen? I love that. It's the summons. Blessing, you have been summoned. Amen. Because we're faithful in our giving. And finally, Genesis 18 says this. There is an appointed time. Somebody say an appointed time. And that means words like appointment. Somebody say, I have an appointment with the blessing of God in my life. There is an appointed time for this thing I'm believing for. Amen? And it means words like fixed time. That again talks back about the definition we used. Time meaning to fix the duration of. There is a fixed time for the thing you're believing God for. So don't quit on it. Amen? It means a fixed time or a fixed season. It means the place of meeting. There is a time and a place for the thing that you're believing for, and it's going to happen. We got to walk around just like we're thinking the rapture may happen today. Walk around thinking, man, that blessing I'm believing God for just might overtake me today. I don't know about you, but just in the realm of the church. Guys, we are such a giving church. I'm bragging about you, about your faithfulness to giving. And then a tenth of everything you give, it's sowed out into the world, into other ministries and missions, right? Somebody say, it's just a matter of time. I mean, this is a nice place, but it isn't the final place, right? We think this is cool, and it is. It's amazing. Currently, with everything that's going on in the world, it's supernatural that we're even here, right? And it's amazing. I mean, there are thousands of dollars in the bank, and I'm not talking about faith money. There are thousands, tens of thousands of dollars in the bank of your church. Amen? And that's cool. But then you start thinking about, that's cool that there's thousands, but building a church is millions. But you know what? That doesn't make God choke. How much does it cost? I was listening to somebody talk about President Trump this past week, and, oh, how come all of a sudden you turn into a conservative? Over these past years, somebody was asking him that. And the guy was explaining, he's like, you know, to build a business in New York City, you have to act like you're a liberal. To build buildings, you have to sign up for all these different things and act a certain way. Doesn't mean that's who you are. Amen? And so God isn't looking at the Northwest going, ah, goodness, man, if they were just in Tulsa, if they were just in Boise, right? If they just would go ahead and move on down to Dallas. The man, they're on that left coast. Don't you know that's where he wants to be? I have heard names of people that used to serve Jesus and are in the liberal party because they got offended at something and buying into all these. You know, there are a lot of backslid Christians in the liberal party. And when they come back to Jesus, it's going to flip that party. Flip it. And bring us all closer together. Amen? Somebody say it's on a fixed time. Hallelujah. So there's a place of meeting. We're going to pray and get into today's actual sermon. Amen? And it means, looks like I wrote sign there. A signal, that's what it is, signal. So your giving is a signal to who? To the blessing and to the curse. No curse, you cannot come and break my refrigerator and break my appliances and break my car and steal my money and lay me off. I heard of a story of someone who's not too far from me in this room that almost a lot of folks where they work were let go except for, I'll say her. What is that? That is the blessing of God. That is a signal to the devil saying, not her. That's the angel saying, yeah, yeah. These folks, we love them, but you better, somebody say, time to get in the program. Time to get in the program. It is a signal to the curse, hands off, a signal to the blessing, bring it on. But see, it's tough sometimes for Jesus to find people who are open to the blessing, because they've been taught it's wrong to prosper, it's evil to prosper. What do you need a big building for? If I learned anything with this past 6 months, it's we need a big, big place. Because people need a big place to go. Where if we needed to, we could have church outside. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's good. Well, let's pray. As you prepare your seed, your tithe, your offering, we thank you so much for being so faithful. God is so good. He's so good. He's so good. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the seed that you've given us. And Lord, we will be faithful no matter how much time is involved. And that's kind of the tough part, is we don't know exactly how much time is involved, but we're going to be faithful, somebody say, today, in our giving and in our faith. And we receive the blessing of God in every area of our lives. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. Somebody shout, amen! Amen. Just stretch your hands out toward the giving nets and let's say this together. Say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvest, come to me now. Harvesting angels, gather it in. I receive the favor, the blessing of God, the wealth and riches of God, debt cancellation, houses, jobs, businesses, ministries, training, automobiles, whatever it is that I have need of, I receive it all in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Now give God praise for that. Amen. Thank you, girls. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord one more time. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. And you know, that's something that will carry you through the time. Thank you, Shelly. On our road trips, Shelly is so wonderful about creating things that help us pass the time. Games and things that we can do, and looking for certain types of cars or how many McDonald's we pass or whatever. One thing you can do to help pass the time, praise. Hallelujah. Just pray. You know what you're believing for. Have a list of what you're believing God for. See, as children, we would write things to Santa. Yeah. Well, how many know you ought to be writing things to Jesus? And Jesus, I'm believing for this, and I'm believing for this, and I'm believing for the Colosseum, and I'm believing for a house, and I'm believing for a house at the beach, and I'm believing for a house in the desert, and I'm believing for a motorhome, and I'm believing for clothing, and I'm believing for this many souls to be won, and you know, amen. Praise the Lord. Don't the devil shame you. Could we ever ask for anything too big for God, right? Well, he just says, you know what? That's just too big. Amen. No. So be asking. And the word says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. So where I might be a little different in this realm is I'll take that to God and then I'll say, but you know what, sir? This is all based upon your approval of it. Because I don't want to be believing for something soulish that maybe you would say, yes, I see what you're saying there, Steve, but this is really what we need over here. And here's what I really need you to be doing. But somebody say, be asking, be dreaming, be believing God. And that's not, to me, that's not double-minded or doubt. That's just saying, Lord, I trust you. Amen? Again, back to my wonderful wife. If I would have been holding on to, you know, people would say, make a list of everything you're looking for in a wife. Shelly's even better than what was on my list. But if I would have held to my list, it would have become an idol before God. And I remember when I met her, when we started to get to know each other, he said, son, take that list and shred it. This is better. And you don't want to miss this. Somebody say, I ain't missing nothing with Jesus. You just trust him. You just trust him. Amen. But keep coming to him and bringing your request to him and keep your list out there. Keep it going. But your list is subject to change. Amen. Based upon his lordship. Amen. Well, let's pray over this word. This is really important too. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. We thank you for the wonderful works you're doing in our nation. We lift it up to you now. Strengthen our leaders in both parties, all parties, God, that you'd help them with their lives. Help them to be saved and know Jesus as Lord. Heal their bodies. Give them clear vision and insight to what you would want for our nation. And Lord, we ask you to add and subtract from our leadership as you would see fit. Favor them who favor your righteous cause, and we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, open your Bible to Proverbs 29. And I have been preaching someone else's sermons the past few weeks with their permission. How many of you know whatever the sermon is, it's probably been preached before? If it's biblical, and the Holy Ghost will help us. But Pastor George Pearson's at Eagle Mountain International Church has been such a blessing, and that church, that ministry, has been such a blessing to me as a Christian, as a believer, as a pastor, you know? It's been such a valuable place for me to connect. And Pastor George has been preaching for several weeks on this message, you know, about the election, the 2020 elections, and specifically the question, where do you stand? And he said, pastors, you can use my notes if you want. No, there's no restrictions, just use my notes. And I thought, yes, I'll do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But this message, well, let's begin with the foundation text. Proverbs 29 verse 2 says this, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Amen, right? So we're believing God for righteous leaders, people that love God, people that acknowledge the Lord. Amen? It's one of the things I love about President Trump, right? When you see things that he says or hear things, he may not sound like the typical religious leader, but he loves God. He loves God. He loves this nation. Amen? And he's nobody's doormat, if you haven't noticed. Amen? And it's so refreshing, the things that he brings to the White House and to leadership and so forth. And there's even Republican people that refuse to acknowledge him and this kind of stuff because he's not a politician and so on. But such an answer. If you want to hear some cool things in regards to this, you can go to Believer's Voice of Victory website and look at last week's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, because they talk about some things. He's talking with a journalist, that the gentleman that produces or edits the magazine Charisma magazine, and he's an author and so on. But just some cool things just in regards to our president that are really special. Amen. And it's just such a supernatural thing. But one of the coolest things that this man has done and will do that'll last way beyond his assignment, right, is his appointment of godly judges in our nation, right? And so the message title today is this, again, Pastor George preached this on September 27th, but the title is, Where Do You Stand on the Supreme Court and Judges? And specifically talking about the Democratic Party, where they stand, the Republican Party, where they stand, and what the Word of God says, and balancing it all out. Amen? There are differences. Amen? But he says this, the president's job is appoint judges who clearly represent his views and the views of his party's platforms. And we've talked about the party platform in the past couple of weeks. That's thus this picture up on the screen, right? Where people are standing is the platform they come from. And there's an actual Democratic Party platform. You can read it online. And there's a Republican Party platform. You can read it online. Amen? And again, it just boggles my mind how many Christians will embrace a platform that clearly is anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-saving unborn babies,
pro-perversions. It's just, where do you get that? Where does that line up? So that's why the Lord is having us kind of come in and set the record straight and say, okay, here's what they say, here's what they say, here's what the Word says. Now go out and vote and pray. Amen? Praise the Lord. But he says this, the judges have a major impact on our nation and its future. The founding fathers would be shocked if they had seen into the future of the Supreme Court rulings. And he talks about in 1962, they ruled prayer out of public schools. In 63, they ruled the Bible out of public schools. In 73, they opened the door to abortion through the Roe v. Wade and Doe versus Bolton cases. And you can... David Barton, thank you. His website, Wellbillers, thank you again. He's got some tremendous resources. We have a DVD at home called God's, remember that title about the founding fathers of our nation? Anyway, I think it's called Our Nation's Godly Heritage. And he talks about from that point, 1962, when that first ruling was made in our Supreme Court, the decline that our nation began to experience, more in morals, right? Everything from perversions to people deciding it's okay to live together, to violence in the schools, to just the academic quality. From one thing, taking God out. Serious matter, right? Well, our president, President Trump, currently has appointed almost 200 conservative federal judges with lifetime appointments and more female judges, a record in recent presidential history. And local judges are our responsibility at the voting booth. So we need to be praying for our local judges as well. The boys and I drove into North Portland yesterday to go to a music store and a sporting goods store and seeing all the people living on the streets and everything, and we're like, you know what, boys? Remember when we were in New Orleans a year and a half ago? None of that. And don't tell me New Orleans has smaller problems than Portland. I was like, boys, it's leadership. Leadership here allows this. In New Orleans, they'd be driving up in their police car saying, out! You cannot camp on public property and defecate on public property and do drugs on public property. Out! I mean, it's a spirit, right? But it's reflective of the leadership in an area. And it's a spiritual problem. So when we drive through those places, I drive through Portland 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week maybe now on my job. And I try to remind myself, don't get up, angry. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Apply the blood of Jesus. Intercede. Amen. But when there's a grown man living in a tent, on a sidewalk where children walk by, this is not okay. It's not okay. It's a public safety issue and a public health issue and a leadership issue. And so we pray and we vote. And it's the same all through California and up to Seattle and, you know, catering to this type of thing. Amen? Well, the reason we're preaching this way is because judges make a difference. And honestly, I don't remember the last voting document I received where there was a conservative judge option. So what do? Leave them blank. Holy Ghost, you decide. I'm not voting for any of these people because they're all liberal. I'm talking about previously. I haven't opened my document yet, but we're praying and believing God, right? So you pray, you ask Jesus. You can find out how judges, because it'll say, oh, we're nonpartisan. We're completely, oh, yeah, right. You just go to their website and look at who supports them, and there you go. That's all you need to see. Amen. And again, we're not battling against people. The people are not my enemy. The devil's our enemy. But we have a right to vote in this nation and pray and believe God to bring about change in our nation. Amen. So what does the Bible say on Judges? Here's some verses to look at. Sorry, it's kind of a little bit faded out up there, but Isaiah 1, 25 and 26 says this, I will raise my fist against you. I will melt you down and skim off your slag. I will remove your impurities. I must have missed a word there. Then I will something good judges again and wise counselors like you used to have. God is interested in good judges and wise counselors like we used to have. Amen. Then Jerusalem will again be called the home of justice and the faithful city. And don't you know, our nation was designed on our biblical roots, right? Somebody say good judges, right? 2 Chronicles 19:5 and 5-7, the Amplified says it this way. He appointed judges throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, be careful what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord. And he is with you in the matter of judgment. So now let the reverence and fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed what you do, for there is no injustice with the Lord our God, or partiality, or taking of bribes. Amen. Somebody say, good judges, please. Amen. Deuteronomy 16, 18 through 20 in the New Living says it this way. Appoint judges and officials for yourselves from each of your tribes, and in all the towns the Lord your God is giving you. They must judge the people fairly. You must never twist justice or show partiality. Never accept a bribe, for bribes blind the eyes of the wise and corrupt the decisions of the godly. Let true justice prevail so you may live and occupy the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Somebody say, good judges are important to God. Amen? And this John Jay, our first Supreme Court justice, said this. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of a Christian nation. A Christian nation. We just need to stop right there for a minute. Somebody say this with me. This is a Christian nation. Now, I know not everybody believes that, not everybody votes that, but we do. And it was founded on Christian roots, the Bible, right? And our first Supreme Court justice said it this way. And some would say, but he was a racist. Oh, come on. That is the tiredest answer. Everything's a racist, right? Yeah, but you know, they were a racist. Oh, come on, right? Tell it to Abraham Lincoln. Right. It is the privilege and interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then it says this also, Pastor George brought this out. These were godly practices of the original Supreme Court. Somebody say, number one, pray for God's wisdom before ruling. Now, we'd all be better if we would pray before making decisions. But all the more, Supreme Court, and I know we have Supreme Court justices now that do that. Praise God for that, right? And number two, quote the Bible to make their decisions. Whatever they decide, it's based on God's word. God's word is the original law book. Amen? Praise the Lord. There's a beautiful picture of the Supreme Court. Hallelujah. So, where does the Democratic Party stand on judges? Well, here we go. Number one, and this is Pastor George's notes, even though the 2020 Democratic Party platform is silent on the subject of marriage, in 2016, their party platform supported the re-identification of marriage through the Supreme Court's decision in June 26th of 2015. So the Supreme Court decided to change what marriage has been honored as forever. Just in a whim. Yeah, let's do it. And again, not everybody on the Supreme Court, but enough. I think it was like a 5-4 vote. Number two, the Supreme Court ruled the fundamental right to marry is guaranteed to same-sex couples by both the Due Process Clause and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. So they're supporting that. The 5-4 ruling requires all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and the insular areas to perform and recognize marriages of same-sex couples on the same terms and conditions as the marriages of opposite-sex couples, with the accompanying rights and responsibilities. Democrats applauded the decision by the Supreme Court that recognized LGBT people, like other Americans, have the right to marry the person they love. Sounds so sweet, doesn't it? But it's wrong. It is just downright anti-Bible, anti-God, wrong. And don't you know, standing up for things that are wrong like they're okay doesn't help anybody. It just doesn't help anybody at all. Certainly isn't good for children. You know, if I say this a lot, but if everyone would vote just for what is best for kids in mind, that would solve a lot of problems right there. Amen? We'll just cut that short, but we will appoint U.S. Supreme Court justices with federal judges who will respect and enforce foundational precedents, including Roe v. Wade. This is the Democratic Party, right? So where does the Republican Party platform stand on Supreme Court decisions? Traditional marriage and family based on marriage between one man and one woman is the foundation for a free society and has for millennia been entrusted with rearing children and instilling cultural values. We condemn the Supreme Court's ruling in the United States versus Windsor, which wrongly removed the ability of Congress to define marriage policy in federal law. We also condemn the Supreme Court's lawless ruling, lawless. See, that's what is going on right now in society. I am so up to here with people using the legitimate plights that African Americans have faced to get what they want. Lawlessness. Here's another opportunity to shut down the jails, to defund the police, to burn down cities. Lawlessness. Well, here's where it begins. Right here, right? Who's in the highest court of the land, right? We condemn the Supreme Court's lawless ruling, robbing 320 million Americans of their legitimate constitutional authority to define marriage as the union of one man and one woman. We do not accept the Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, and we urge its reversal, whether through judicial reconsideration or a constitutional amendment returning control over marriages to states. We seek to enable courts to begin to reverse the long line of activist decisions, including Roe v. Wade. Somebody say amen. Right? Well, we'll close with this. It's pretty clear, isn't it? But this, remember last week we shared the thing about Hurricane Katrina and its connection to the treatment of Israel. Documented things that have been shown of don't touch Israel, right? Well, the prophetic words are powerful things, and a lot of the church is not comfortable with the prophetic. And there are legitimate goofballs probably up there, right? So what do you do with anything anyone says God said? You compare it with the word, and did what they say come to pass, right? Well, this guy, Hank Kuhneman, I've been learning more about him over the past, you know, half a year or so, and he is pretty amazing. Stuff God speaks to this man. Now, listen to this. This is December 31st, 2018. This prophet, Hank Kuhneman. I am greater than your Senate. He's speaking for the Lord, right? I am greater than your Senate. I am greater than your Supreme Court. I will shake your court again. And one who represented death, listen to this. One who represented death, who was part of legalizing death to those who never had a chance to walk the earth, I will take that which represented death of a ruling of a woman, and I shall give back to your courts a woman who shall represent justice. That gives me goosebumps. And as it takes place, get ready, because this is a new era that I am speaking. There shall be a reversal of the laws upon the land that aborts the children in the womb, and it's coming fast. That's December 31st, 2018. Now now this is another word from Brother Hank in May 22nd, 2019. Just as things get heated up in your land, there will be a distraction that shall come from your Supreme Court. That shall be from your Supreme Court. It will bring discussion, fear, arguing, and bickering because it is about to fall upon this nation. One who stood for death in the womb, justice demands your replacement. Therefore, a woman has been chosen to rise up, a woman for a woman. Injustice for justice. This is serious business with God. Amen? And then September 22nd, 2020, just last month during the Victory-a-thon, Brother Hank says, I am the God that brings great change to the earth. Look to the earth and that way watch and see. As I am moving upon the earth shall become unsettled. Things shall be shifted and moved back into place into divine order. Watch even specifically what shall take place even upon the land of the U.S., for it is not in your too distant future that you will see a new court that shall arise in the land. There will be rulings that shall be 6-3, 7-2, and 8-1. And she will be in favor of righteousness. She, right? She will be in favor of righteousness because I am stepping in at this time. I am the God who is bringing forth change. You will see it with your own eyes. And currently, before September 18, 2020, here's our Supreme Court justices. May the Lord bless them, right? John Roberts, Chief Justice, conservative. Clarence Thomas, conservative. Samuel Alito Jr., conservative. Neil Gorsuch, conservative. Brett Kavanaugh, conservative. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the one who just passed away, liberal. Stephen Breyer, liberal. Sonia Sotomayor, liberal. Elena Kagan, liberal. Five conservatives and four liberals. Amen. Now, here, this is about Amy Coney Barrett. When she's confirmed, the new Supreme Court count will be six conservatives and three liberals. Amen. And you can just do the math right there. Praise God. Somebody say, Jesus is doing something in our nation. And finally, we're closing up here. But President Trump's top judge to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg is Amy Coney Barrett. President Trump first nominated Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court appeals for the Seventh Circuit in 2017. Out of law school, this is about Sister Amy here, right? Out of law school, she clerked for strong conservative Antonin Scalia. She considered him her mentor. She shares with him a belief in originalism. And originalism is defined as judges who interpret words of the Constitution as the authors originally intended. Amen, right? She was a law professor at Notre Dame for 15 years and was a member of anti-abortion group called Faculty for Life. She has previously written that judges should not be held to upholding Supreme Court precedents that would join the justices in overturning Roe v. Wade. I'm going to read that again in case I messed it up. She has previously written that judges should not be held to upholding Supreme Court precedents that would join the justices in overturning Roe v. Wade. Obviously, she's a very pro-life person. Amen? Really, it's greater than the pro-life thing, it's pro-God. Okay, that's the main thing, right? And then it goes through some other details about her, but from the People of Praise website, she's with her church that she goes to is called People of Praise, which grew out of a 1960s Catholic charismatic renewal movement. The group adopted Pentecostal practices such as speaking in tongues, believing in prophecy and divine healing. Praise God. And some would say, see there, she's nuts. She speaks in tongues. Well, so do you. I don't understand what you're saying. Yeah, she prays in the Spirit. Glory to God, right? Like hundreds of millions of other Christians in the Pentecostal movement, People of Praise members have experienced the blessing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the charismatic gifts as described in the New Testament. This is a source of great joy for us and an important aspect of what God is doing in our world today. In a 2006 speech to Notre Dame graduates, she spoke of law as a higher calling. If you can keep in mind that, this is a quote from her, if you can keep in mind that your fundamental purpose in life is not to be a lawyer, but to know, love, and serve God, you truly will be a different kind of lawyer. Always remember that a legal career is but a means to an end, and that end is building the kingdom of God. A woman for a woman. Somebody say, wow. Wow. Amen. Let's pray together this morning. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for these words today, and we do pray over our judges, Lord, all of them, Lord, liberal or conservative. God, we ask you to open their eyes and show them the truth and help them to be people of the truth that are more interested in justice, more interested in your word, more interested in your plan than in their careers. In the name and by the blood of Jesus, Lord, we call in the right judges even to our local areas, to Portland, to Vancouver, our surrounding areas that we all represent. We speak righteousness over our areas. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, to confirm this new Supreme Court justice quickly. And we'll just give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, we just rejoice and we thank you for the mighty works that you're doing in our nation, because truly it is a life and death thing. And we, as it says, we are people who choose life. We choose God. And as we go to the voting booths, Lord, in the next week or so, we ask you, Lord, to give us wisdom. Every detail, Lord, that your policies, your people will be in power. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.